Alrighty, everybody. Good evening. This is Gordon, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Map. And we're starting in a moment. Okay, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association has a technical map, which is a discussion about amateur radio, electronics, electricity, telecommunications, computers, and things in our society. Use all those wonderful things. We welcome anybody to check in, and all of you are licensed to operate in the amateur radio 2-meter band. Further, we hope that you will participate, even if you don't have a question or a comment. I don't want to hear that you're not worthy of checking in or have nothing to contribute. Your participation, contribution. And we'll probably be able to call upon you, even for something you may not have realized we could. So it's important that you check in. Because knowing who our audience is, and knowing who our participants are, allows us to kind of drive the conversation around the needs and activities of others. And sometimes we have a question that leads us to ask you about a question, about something, even if you didn't think that you were a qualified person. Because often you are in the eyes of others. And so it's really good to share. And the first way to share is to check in. The next thing we need to do is we need to find out, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2EAR. That's the right answer to that question. Next one. So, let's see what our next question is. Alright, so the way we check into this net is we'll do the radio side first and then we'll do the echolink side later. And you're welcome to check in on both. In fact, you can check in on the echolink side silently and just use it for text messaging to me. The echolink access is K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L. K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L. And there's a text messaging window there too. So if during a transmission or during the comment, during the net, you want to either point something out or make a comment without interjecting on the net directly, you can submit it that way as well. So, K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L is the way you do that. So, our next is to get check-ins from stations whose call signs begin with November. Any call signs begin with November, please call K2BAR. When you call sign your name, indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. K2BAR? This is N2OEL, no question. Okay. Good evening, Noel. Got your no question. Any other Novembers? Alright, we'll try then, let's see, we'll try, the next group would be, my email window closed, that's interesting. We'll get back, so, any other, numbers. Now let's try, Kilo 2, go.
I have one question, one comment, back to that.
Yeah, Jim, I got your question and your comment, and I also got your email, and the answer is yes, let's talk about that.
This is Tony, K2AMI. Just a comment and no questions.
Tony, any other Kilo 2s?
This is KC2SQV, James. I'm not sure if I have a comment or question, but I may want to come back to you when the time comes. Good evening.
Well, if you have a question or a comment, James, just chime in and say, I would like to add a question or comment, put you in the next opportunity to catch it. Not a problem. And good evening to you, sound like your pedestrian mobile. Alrighty, any other kilos?
W2 Sierra Echo Tango. Good evening. It's Peter. Peter in Bayville, Long Island, New York.
Hi, Peter. Do you have a question or comment that you want to just let people know? That you, will you want to register a question or comment for later?
Oh, no, just listening. I just wanted to let you know I'm listening and joining in here. No, thank you.
Very good. Thank you for checking in from Bayville. Any other kilo stations?
KS2ID. I think I have a comment or a question. Let's take a look at it.
Okay, Ben. Not a worry. I got you down for a comment, I guess. A question, that's fine, too. All right, any other kilo?
KC2ZRG, my name is Rick with a question.
Well, much better, Rick. Okay, that probably was you before. Yeah, you're much stronger. And you have a question, I've noted that. Very good. Any other kilos?
Mike Echo, Nick,
monitor. KC2 Zulu Mike Echo, is it? And Nick?
No, Dick, G-I-C-K.
Oh, okay. Dick, we also had KC2 Zulu Mike Alpha a couple times last couple of weeks, so that's kind of neat. So welcome aboard. Welcome, welcome. Any other kilos?
Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey Golf Oscar. No questions or comments at this time.
Okay, KC2 Whiskey Golf Oscar, your name?
Oh, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. I'm a little dense, so until I remember everybody's calling, appreciate it. And even if I don't, it's good for everybody else to hear it. Any other kilos?
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Excellent, Don. Please hold into your comments the results of last week's test session, if you would. I appreciate knowing what that was about. And any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Welcome, welcome. Alrighty, any other whiskeys? Foundation, any station with an alpha call, please call me to the AR. Okie dokie. Any other call signs? Alrighty. Anybody on Echo Link? Alrighty, let's do this. Let's do Tony's comment first. I think I know what that's about. K2AMI, K2BAR.
Good evening, it's K2AMI. Of course, reminding everybody that this coming Sunday is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association auction. It's not a ham fest, it's an auction. It's going to be in the cafeteria of the Westwood Junior Senior High School in Washington Township, just outside of Westwood. And the auction will start probably by 1 o'clock. However, you can get into the building at 12 and bring your stuff in if you want to sell it. Or start perusing the information that's there, any stuff that's there. Be patient. By 1 o'clock, we hope to start the auction. There we go again. The auction. There will be edibles there, like hot dogs and coffee and other desserts. I understand that Barbara, whose conversations I had with her today, said she's going to make hero sandwiches with Italian heroes bread and sausage and peppers to stuff in them. She makes a delicious combination of sauce, peppers to stuff in a sauce into a Italian hero sandwich for sale. We also will have hot dogs there and other items. And of course, Pete, who has been our auctioneer for many years, will be our auctioneer again. He's always entertaining, knows lots of equipment. Hopefully we'll get a good price for you if you are selling, and a good price for the buyers if we're buying. So please come, 12 o'clock Sunday, this coming Sunday, Westwood Junior Senior High School. Talk in on 79 repeater. Back to net.
Okay, doke. Thank you very much. Anybody have any questions for Tony about the Sunday noon time auction at Westwood High School in Washington Township? That sounds great. Well, my whole family's got to go to Mass early for a variety of reasons. The auction is one, and Jeremy has had the World Jamboree meeting, and Nancy's going to take him up there for that. Maybe James and I will go over and come to the auction on Sunday. I know I will, but we'll see if we can get him to go there too. Alrighty. Anybody have questions for Tony? Making it? Oh, yeah, okay, good. That should help. I was desensing James. He was sitting underneath the antenna wondering why he couldn't hear anything on the output. He got all... That's funny. If anybody is making sense. All right. So let the games begin. K2ZO. K2BAR. Your comment and your question and all sorts of fun stuff.
This is K2ZO. Okay, well, my comment about the was going to be about the auction, of course, and remind everybody. And Tony did a very good job of doing that. And I just want to remind everybody who's listening that it is an auction. It is not a flea market. Please do not show up there at 7:30 in the morning because it doesn't start until noon. So please tell your friends. Don't come there at 7:30. Anyway, I think we may have a little bit of rain. I was kind of hoping that we wouldn't have any snow, so I guess we could put up with a little bit of rain because it is all indoors. And Gene, KJI, will be there. We'll also have someone there making badges. I've been fascinated by this project going on in the county with the solar panels going up. Public Service has started a major, major project, and they're putting up thousands of solar panels. They have a small solid-state inverter, and they go right into the grid. They go right into the secondary of the grid that feeds your house, and each one of them puts out a few amps. And I just sent Gordon an email with a couple of photos of the installation near my house and how it's hooked up. Looks like it has some kind of a connection to the Internet there also, Gordon, in addition to that thing. But I wonder, has anybody noticed them, and has anybody got any more information on them? Back to that, K2ZO.
To you, JK.
Tom, go ahead.
I noticed a couple on Kinnikumak Road up in Oradell. About three of them up there in the vicinity of Soldier Hill Road, but I was looking at the way they're pointed, and they don't seem to be pointed to it where the sun would be sort of east, like facing more to the southeast and let's say to the south or the southwest where you might get more sunlight. I don't know why that is, the way they were oriented, but I would think that they would be pointed more toward the south rather than the southeast. That's my thought on them. Back to that, W2JK.
Well, they certainly are fascinating. I haven't looked at any technical details on them. I haven't had a chance to do that, but God knows that they've been around for a couple of years now. I guess maybe 18 months ago I started to see them around here, and it's very interesting as to what they're doing. But are they using it for control purposes? I'm wondering if to basically provide them with a little power to control the grid should they need to. Because you're just not going to get a whole lot of power out of these one thing. I mean, these are basically 150 watt panels, if I remember right.
They do have some smart technology. I know they can communicate. How they do it, I don't know. Apparently, the solid-state module, of course, has to be in phase with the grid, and it will not produce any power at the output unless the grid is alive. In other words, it's not going to put out anything unless the grid is hooked up. And apparently, each one of these things only puts out a couple of amps. But if you do a Google search on Tetra, P-E-T-R-A, solar, you'll find some info. And I did also find the announcement from Public Service by doing a little Google search on using the two names, the PSE&G and Tetra, and came up with the announcement that they're going to do 40 megawatts of these things, which literally translates into a couple of 100,000 of these. So the company is in South Plainfield, and they're hiring, by the way. So anyway, I don't know exactly how they work, what they do, why they need to be oriented. I did notice what Don noticed. Some of them on Route 17 appear to be pointed southeast, and then there's a couple that are pointed southwest, which I'm not sure, you know, what the whole reasoning on that is. But it's very interesting. I'd sure like to get a hold of one and play with it. Back to that, K2ZO.
Notice that they use number 12 wire coming off the thing too, but you know, these panels just strike me as being, you know, well, they say AC power but it's 200 watts, well, they must be very efficient to do that. I'll say that right now, because judging by their geometry, you know, they're you know, it's pretty tight to do that, but so 200 watts of AC power coming out of these things, so that's about as good as it gets for that form factor. They're 58 inches long, and they're 58 to 66 inches long, I'm sorry, and they're about 31 to 39 inches wide, so that in itself is kind of interesting as to why they have such a wide variability, because that much real estate difference, the output would not just be 200 watts, it could be more or less, depending on what it is once they're doing, you know, the variety of technology in order to deliver this stuff. So, who knows? Anybody else have any comments?
S2ID. You know, the question of solar cells just brought to me mind a question. When a solar cell, probably some people have some experience on this, so I think I could get a definite answer. When the light decreases from a solar cell from maximum and tends to go towards minimum, what happens? The question in my mind is, does the voltage drop, or is it simply that the current capacity, the amount of current you can get, decreases? I suspect the latter, because the voltage is developed across the junction, and that depends upon, so the voltage would be set by atomic differences of work factor. but I'm just wondering if I'm right. As the power, as the light goes down, people who worked with solar cells would know. Does the voltage output drop, or does the amount of current you can get drop? Of course, it's going to get very dim. So there might be some drop of voltage along the way, but I'm just curious. KF2ID.
Okay, so your basic assumption is correct, Ben. It's mostly current. There is some voltage component, but that's usually due to shading or some other thing like that, or just not quite enough solar energy hitting one panel or one element of the panel versus another. But I've been looking at something here on the something on the web about this PSEG petrosolar thing. It's a $200 million contract to install it on 200,000 poles in the six largest cities and 300 rural and suburban communities in New Jersey. Cowabunga, dude, that's a lot of solar panels. So 200,000 for 200 million. It's $1,000 pop. Hardware and everything else installed. Wow. That's pretty good.
Did you take it?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, with the answer to Ben's question, the solar panel I use for that field day battery, I have a milliammeter hooked up in series with that. So I can orient it toward the sun. In its most favorable direction. It doesn't seem to be that directional, but naturally I try to use pointing right towards the sun. Now, with those things, of course, I'm just doing the DC part of it, but one thing you have in there between the solar panel and the battery is a diode. What you don't have that diode in there is that the battery will discharge through the solar panel if the sun goes down. So that's why you have the diode. So I imagine they have something similar to that with these things. That they, at nighttime, they're obviously not putting out any electricity to the grid. So they must have. They must have a diode between that and the between their solar panel and the inverter. I imagine they've got what they, some kind of lines that do tell which one of these things is functioning and when it's not functioning. I imagine they have some handle on that too, and just how they do that. Maybe that's part of BPL, who knows? Although they do use some of their own stuff over the power lines, I don't think it's radio frequencies like we know them, but, they do have some stuff I think that works on. Over the wrong line. Back to that W2JK.
That could be. I don't think it's anything to do specifically with BPL, but at the end of there, I'm just reading one thing in the honor. Apparently there's some contractual filing that had to be done with the Board of Public Utilities regarding this thing. And, I just noticed that the Secretary of the Board of Public Utilities in 2009 was a lady named Christy Izzo. Tony, I have to ask you, is that a relative?
Oh, sure. Him and Ralphie Izzo, who's head of the chief financial officer of the public service. His name is Ralph Izzo. I wonder how she got the job. But neither one are relatives of mine, unfortunately.
Okay, well, just trying to help out here. That's wonderful. Okay. Anybody else have any comments about this?
K2AI?
Yes, sir.
Well, I just checked eBay and typed in Petra solar panels and found zero responses. So they're not yet on eBay. But I think if they get into Newark and Patterson, they'll be popping up on eBay soon.
I thought.
Tom?
Yeah, now we could say we could just plug into the AC outlet and say we're on solar panel. We don't have to drag my solar panel over there. Could that be? Get our solar power, natural power bonus.
Well, it's an interesting way to handle peak power. They may have decided that to aim these things the way they did in order to have a reasonable distribution of this additional power source, so they're not expecting the full capacity at any given time during the day, but they just wanted to make sure that they had so much of it through the day, and they may have also pointed it in a certain direction, basically as a result of where they wanted to place it, topological, structural, and, tree-oriented foliage constraints. Anybody else? This subject, we'll go on to the next one. Mr. Matthew, going to give us another point. Was there someone else? Okay. Let's go to KF2ID. Ben, we'll come back to Jim on his other thing. KF2ID, Ben, go ahead, take it. T2BAR.
Okay. Basically, the question came to mind because I had a problem with the one end of my antenna, HF antenna, is hanging on the ground because I had it onto my neighbor's tree, and they had to take that tree down, so I'm left at the end. And so I'm going to be putting on one of the trees on my property, but it's somewhat closer than my neighbor's was. So if I want to maintain the same length of antenna, I'll have part of the antenna drooping down through the tree. So the question comes to my mind, well, it's drooping down, that means the end is loose, and and the voltage on an antenna is maximum at the end because it's open circuit there, so there's no current can flow, so the voltage is maximum. And when is it resonant? It's a half wave anyways. What it does other times, I guess it's the same thing. So the question in my mind, what is that voltage? So after scratching my head a little while, I figured, well, I'll take a simple approach. Assuming that the antenna is resonant, and assuming it's somewhere in the order of 50 ohms, and assuming I have 100 watts, I'll just use the formula V squared over R is equal to 100 and calculate it. And so I came up with, for 100 watts, 220 volts RMS or 316 volts peak. So my question is, anybody who might have done some calculations on this, am I using the right approach? Of course, if the antenna isn't resonant and the resistance is different, it's another number. But that's the simplest approach. It gives me a rough idea where I am. So I was wondering if anybody thinks that I'm wrong, and if I'm wrong, what's right? KF2ID.
Okay. So let's calibrate this question a little bit. You're making the assumption that there's no current at the end of the quarter wave. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there can't be any current because it's that's true. If it's resonant, as you look at the distribution of the currents and the voltages, that's true because there can't be any current at the end of the line, but there's no place for it to go. So it just has to be zero. At that point, the voltage is maximum. And so I just assumed that V squared over R is equal to 100, which is the wattage I use, assuming, again, that's 100% efficient, which it isn't, of course. The whole 100 watts is showing up at the antenna.
Okay, so that being said, the first question is, are you sure that you're presenting a 50 ohm, you know, source, if you will, at the feed point, you know, from the coax, and is the antenna, you know, a resistive 50 ohm load, or is it something else? So, assuming it's a resistive 50 ohm load, assuming that you're developing the maximum current into the coax at the point where it interfaces to that feed point, then everything is absolutely true. Having said that, let's throw it off to our resident antenna expert, Mr. KTZO. Start with him. And then Mr. Don, WJEK, Jim first.
Okay, K2BAR, K2ZO. Yeah, Ben, I think that's probably about the closest way to do it. And I remember seeing it one day, figuring out at that point where the end of the antenna is at a, if you look at it, it's a couple thousand ohms. And for a couple of kilowatts, that translated into about 3,000 volts RF at the end of the antenna. So you better insulate that. Back to that.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, what you have at the center of the antenna is a rather low voltage, but then when you get out to the end, it's going to be high. Now, the thought I had for that, the bend, is I don't know just how, I mean, he's got it in another tree that's closer to the house than the original tree. So he's going to have at least coming from that tree where it goes from the horizontal to the vertical, that vertical section. If it's not too close to the ground, all you could, all you have to do is put an insulator on the end of it and tie it off to something. On the other hand, if it's still too close to the ground, what you might have to do is take it at an angle across the yard some way so that it will be up above ground so where people can't reach it if you see how I'm driving it. Well, that might be a thought on that then. So I don't know yet how close it would be to the ground for you.
One possibility for you to think about. Back to that, W2JK. Okay, very good. Any other comments from anybody else? Okay, so then the key point there is you're going to have a very, very high voltage at that point. And the impedance will necessarily be 50 ohms at that point either, as Jim indicated. Before the impedance is not necessarily the impedance at the end of the wire. In fact, it's not to be. So be very careful. Now, the other thing is, as you bend the wire from the horizontal to the vertical, you want to make sure that it's got a good insulator on it. And not just, you know, draped over a tree branch or something, anything like that, because bad things could happen. You know, with a high current, from a high voltage point. And, you know, bad things will happen if it starts to arc over at that point. Kind of. Anybody else? Yeah, make sure that you put an insulator with at least some weight on it to tie it off the top where you're going to do vertical. Tie it off so that you're so that you don't weave around in the breeze one way or the other. All right. Then back to you, KF2IDK2BAR.
Okay. Well, thank you for all the very suggestions for handling the end. I'm thinking of somewhat similar approaches, but the more suggestions, the better. If you came up with 3 kilovolts as what the end voltage is, well, that's what I would expect based on the numbers I used. That's 1,000 watts. That's 100 times. Yeah, it's 10 times more than what I've got. So your voltage is 10 times more. So that turns out to be about the same. All right. Thank you, and that's about it for me. This is KF2ID.
Okay, very good. Now, I have a
questions sort of related to this. I've been driving home with this all day. So, if I look at a transmission line, and I notice there's large amounts of attenuation on that line at, let's say, 6.9 megahertz, 5.4 megahertz, 3.4 megahertz. There's a huge, huge, you know, 20 dB or more. Yes, it suggests that I have, you know, and I know there's a piece of wire out there that is, if you will, perpendicular to that transmission line. Like a T that got left around. How would I identify either where it is along the transmission line from my point of measurement, my end point of measurement, and how would I estimate it, how long it would be? You know, if it was one dip, I would figure it's a quarter wave, and, you know, or an odd multiple of a quarter wave, I should say. And then it would be a matter of using a TDR-like function to figure out where it is. But how does that actually work? Well, figuring out the length. We have multiple dips and replacements. Ben, go ahead.
Well, you have a big attenuation, so I assume you think it's a short. The way you describe it, it sounds like a short. And that being the case, when you have a half wave length antenna, whatever's at one end shows up at the other end. And if you have a short, you'll get a zero impedance. So just keep lowering the frequency that you're using, your generator, until you get the lowest frequency at which you get a zero impedance, and that would be the frequency of the half wave. And since you know what the frequency is and you know what the length of the half, you can calculate the length of a half wave, and I don't know, it's copper or something, you want to throw in a 0.8 or 0.9, the velocity factor there, that should give it to you, AF2ID. Or the lowest impedance, that you can measure if it's not an exact short. So the lowest frequency is the lowest impedance is the half wave, AF2ID.
I got you. So if I'm seeing dips at multiple frequencies, either A, I have multiple shorts, or B, that they're related somehow. Go ahead and take into account the velocity factor, okay? Pretty good. That's good enough. I get it. Alrighty. Let's see. Anybody else have a comment? Tonight it was 1 o'clock. And now we will go to Mr. Let's go to Rick, and then we'll go back to Jim for his next.
920. Just a quickie comment. I purchased some SMA crimp type connectors, and I'm looking at them, and I'm going to borrow a crimper because mine doesn't fit these things. I'm going to put them on RG-174. And my question is, are you supposed to solder that center conductor pin, or is there a crimper that crimps that little thing? Back to that.
The answer to the question that I've seen is that you can solder, and yes, there is a crimp. Some people do both.
Okay, because the crimper I had access to does not crimp the little one there. So I guess I'll try to solder it. Okay, thank you.
There's been a lot of discussion about that on a number of lists lately. I think I saw one on kind of a Power Talk, or it was on Mike at the microwave list, but needless to say, this gets people all hot and bothered as to whether you should crimp and solder or just crimp. Anyway, very, very good. Anybody have any comments for Jim? Mr. Don, over to you, WTJK, UTBAR.
Okay, UTBAR, group W2JEK, just announcing the next BARA test session will be on Friday, March the 18th. This is the Westwood Regional High School at 7 p.m. in classroom number 123. Back to that, W2JK.
Again, the date is?
March 18th, Friday, March 18th.
That's great. That is absolutely wonderful. That is Friday. That's 2 weeks before Easter. So it's Friday or Palm Sunday. Pretty good. And that's a cool effect on. Alrighty. Anybody have any comments for Don about that? Alright, so Don, what was your result from the last session last week?
Last test session we had, I forget what we had. Hold on a minute. It's been up there. I had a general and two techs out of four applicants. That's the way it was. WB2POS, one of our barra members, went from tech to general. And we had two techs as well. Back to that.
Excellent. There'll be another technician class. Number of venture crew 7373-139 on the 29th. Oh, wait a minute. Don, I think I may be wrong. I think your test session is scheduled for Good Friday. You need to check that. I'm not sure. But I think that's Good Friday.
That's the 22nd. It's the following week. Good Friday's the following week.
Okay, you're right. Okay, I'm reading this. I misspoke. I calculated right the first time. I questioned it myself. Sorry about that. Okay, very good. And, so the 29th, I've got a class. For technician. We'll go from there. So, let me know offline what your preference. There's also a breakfast and flea market in the morning on Saturday over here at Burger Field as well. And let's see what else. Some other things coming up too. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. Anybody else have topics? The
Do I have trouble getting in? Of activity there. Alrighty. I'm glad we didn't have that problem. Any other questions, comments, confusions for the net? Just as an advisory, several Earth Scouts are going to be gathering at St. John's Church basement a week from Wednesday, so almost 2 weeks from now, in the evening, to work on solar panels and to also wire them up and learn a little bit about how to, you know, provide some physical stability for solar panels that they have had, but they're going to build their own frame for them, take the little light gauge wire that comes with the small 15-watt panels, and they're going to rewire them number 12. They'll be doing that night. We'll also be discussing power budgets, and anybody else has anything else they want to work on that night, they're welcome to come down as well. Trying to have a monthly activity night where we, you know, pull up with things and get our hands dirty, and, you know, for a good few hours, build stuff. We're going to try to do it by 7, but there might even be some opportunities to be there earlier. For the environment is, but any prospective amateurs welcome to come by. They would go to the fire. But we're going to do that, I guess, it'll be the 16th of March. Alrighty. Anybody else? Joke. Alrighty. Just an advisory, make this announcement at this point. For those of you who have the RACI frequency list for Bergen County, Bob has contributed a list of RACI frequencies. 146.835 is one of those frequencies, 146.835, and it shows as W2 Uniform Hotel Foxtrot. That is actually changing. NJ2BS, NJ2 Boy Scouts, stroke repeat, as of tomorrow. So be aware of that. You might want to update your records for that. Any other comments, questions, confusions? Anybody? Oh, wait. We have one. I'm sorry. KC2ZRG. Sorry, Rick. Do you want to try again to get in?
K2BAR, K2DRG. Signal any better?
It's good enough. Keep them short and make your question. I think we'll be good, Rick. Go ahead.
What is DW? DW stands for Morse code, or can I use PSK31 on the DW band for the 46? That's an answer.
Boy, that's a great. You may use anything that's not any wider than a CW signal, basically. So that'd be a full carrier. So yes, you can use PSK31, you can use RTTY, a couple other modes you can use. But yes, you absolutely can.
I'm in.
No, I'm good.
All right, depends on your class of license. If you are attacked, you can only use CW 140/80. 15 meters. The only place you would be able to use PSK-31 is on the 10-meter band with the CW portion there. But then when you graduate to a general, then you would be able to use PSK-31 on all the other bands. I think that's one of the stipulations of that that came about back to that W2JEK.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Let me give a little bit of incentive here for people to become an extra. When you're an extra, with a few notable exceptions, there are only really a few things you need to know about an amateur band. What the outer limits are, where the switchover is between backbone and narrowband modes, and generally how much power you're allowed to run. That's about it. So that's the best reason for being an extra. Anyway. So, anybody have any comments for Don?
W2J8K with a comment.
Go ahead, Don. I have a comment for Don.
Yeah, well, that bottom 25 on 80, 40, 20, and 15 meters is where a lot of the DX hangs out in the CW band. And if you have the extra class, that's where it's where you can go.
I would agree. But I was just pointing out that the benefit is, you know, from a memory viewpoint, that's pretty much what Rick's, you know, we have privileges and stuff like that. That was the gist of Rick's question. You know, where those privileges lie, reside, doing what. You quite rightfully point out this license class issue that I neglected to cover. So thank you for that first point, and also the second point about the DX benefit. Anybody else have comments for Rick? So, Mr. Rick, back to you.
K2BAR, that's it for now. Yeah, I have no further questions. Like I said, I'm trying to work on the next classification. Back to net, KT2ZRG.
You know, I'll tell you something. And we had all the cool digital modes way back when. I wouldn't have remained a technician as long as I did. But eventually I got around to it, general and advanced pretty quickly. And I sat on the, through most of the 90s, 2001 as an advanced class licensee. And then finally passed the extra at the National Boy Scout Jamboree in 2001 on a lark, literally a lark. It took me 2 tries. Once I failed by 1 question, the other time I passed decisively. But anyway, I would have been motivated a lot faster sooner and had all these cool digital modes, other things that you could do HF radio today, you know, couldn't do way back when. So this is very cool. All right. Thank you, Rick, for that question. Anybody else have a question, comment, if you want to check in, want to make noise, et cetera.
This is KO2OK, Bennett here.
I'm meeting the requirement to make noise. All righty, how are you, Bennett? Questions, comments, confusion?
Hi, Gordon. I'm a little bit late. Very late. Did anybody mention the auction this weekend?
Oh, yeah. The one at noon at Westwood High School in Washington Township. At the auction, and there's food and all kinds of wonderful mixes. Contrivances, et cetera, to help, you know, accept your palate and separate you from money. Yes, that was all coming.
Sounds good. Just wanted to make sure. And I'll just listen for a bit. Thanks a lot, Gordon. Back to that. KO2, okay.
Okay. By the way, I got a very large piece of paper today from an easel board and traced out the side rear window of my van so that I could build a replacement Lexan panel. Instead of taking the Lexan, piece of aluminum, custom to match the size, the form factor of the window, replace the window with that. And then reflection on the outside, moving on the inside, I'll have a very nice access panel, which will also have an exterior cover to protect the connectors coming off the top of the roof rack from the elements. So it should be very, very cool. So, the only thing I was trying to see if I could do is put in a a bevel cut into the half inch leg fan with the idea that I could then put in the feed through on an angle, a small angle. But I don't know anybody who's got the right either lathe or milling machine, probably a milling machine necessary to do that. But so they're going to be really easy for you. So, but it's still very cool.
Okay. That sounds interesting. You just made me remind me of something. When I was at lunch the other day up in Park Ridge, New Jersey, somebody came up to my car and said, hi, I'm Joe, AB2M. He was up there with his wife, I think. They were up from Florida, even though he had an AB2M call. And he says he has a Jeep Commander, and he didn't know how to mount the antenna on his car, and he saw my car, and he's never seen another Jeep Commander with a ham radio antenna on it. How about that? Anyway, Joe is looking around here to relocate from Florida. He used to live over in, I think, Long Island, and was very active with Racies and AEC and Aries and also Skywarn. And he's been down in Florida since 2001, and now I think we'll be relocating up here, so maybe we'll hear more of him. That's AB2M, Alpha Bravo 2 Mike, Joe. So I thought that was interesting if anybody is familiar with him from past years. Anyway, back to them. KO2, okay.
I don't know the call, but it certainly got my attention. Someone relocating from Florida to here. So was it one of these deals where he retired there, or was it one of these deals where he got relocated there by his company and now he doesn't want to be there anymore, or whatever, it wants to be here now?
I don't know. It does say in our QAZ profile that he's a sales engineer for a company that makes security and encryption products for computer networks. So I don't know if he took a job down there from up here or he got relocated. No idea. But seemed like a nice guy, and we may be hearing more from him in future months. Back to net.
Oh, I hope so. That'd be great. Sounds like an interesting career. yes. I'm going to go look him up myself. All right. So, thank you for that. That's most interesting. And, yeah, you know, it doesn't make sense to be a hermit ham. So it's better if you have you know, some opportunity to be, you know, to be out there. You know, like you are, you're out there, you're visible, and you provide him a path to solving his problem. So he moved to Florida for business reasons, and he's going to miss the Florida wing of the Civil Air Patrol. So up here, it's a lot different. Anyway, so it looks great. Really, really does. So anyway, I actually know the call, by the way. So I think I actually worked Joe before in his former life. All right, very good. Anything else from anybody? By the way, I thought KB2M Harold. Like, nah, I don't think so. Different guy. All righty. Very good. So, Rick, you got the answer to your question. Anybody else? Thank you very much for a beautiful event tonight, for your patience in getting all squared away. I'm going to go downstairs and say hi to my wife, other than the greeting I gave her as I flew in the door and dropped my things and came flying up here to run the net. So it's a very late night and straight at work, and good stuff today. But I was teaching some of my, one of my colleagues how to, you know, look at some data, how to analyze it, write some basic, you know, code to process it to a proof of concept before he decides, you know, running off and building databases. So that was fun, too. Alrighty. So, 7-3, everybody, and have a good one. This is KTVAR, the voice of the Bergen Amateur Association, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their 2-meter repeater, and wishing everybody a fine good night. We'll see see some of you on Friday if they're on, and the rest of you on Sunday at the auction. This is KTBAR WQTTT Alpha Clear.